preach to us.
I'm glad to have you with us.
Good afternoon. You know, I probably can tell when people are not getting bored with me. They're probably looking at their phone doing this. My glasses. Are they back there, Mary Jo?
Give them to him. He won't be able to see his eyes.
I leave these off when I get, you know, get in front of a mirror. Where I'm being. You know, I thought months ago about what I was going to, you know, preach and teach on tonight. And it just laying in the bed, thought I'll do that. And one of the reasons, because Mark Rumfeller said, you know, seemed like there's a shortage of preachers. Then I get here, and Steve says there's too many. Came and fit them all in. But you know, that's got nothing to do with my message, really. You know, I just thought about that. It came to me, and I thought, I'll speak on that. And a lot of times, I'll be thinking about a message and think, I'm going to speak on that at a Bible conference. And lo and behold, I get there, and I just have another thought and just go along with it. But this one stayed with me, so I guess this is the right message. You know, I don't know. But anyway, I've got a site on Facebook. It's called Rightly Dividing Explained. I get on there every day, and I teach. And there's about 30 people that faithfully, it just seemed like they come on there every day. And so that's amazing to me that they would even listen one day, much less 30. And a lot of people that over the years, and it's been a long time, that I try to reach those people, they're there. And so every day I feel obligated because I'm getting to teach those people rightly dividing. And I've been trying for 30 years to do that. And Facebook has made it possible. That is just amazing to me. And so I'm thankful to see all these people on Friday night. This is amazing too. I can only imagine. Ain't gonna be standing room only. And thank y'all for being here. What I want to talk about is a calling. But I want to talk about a certain kind of calling. It's called a holy calling. And you'll find it in 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy. And I thought about this, and on the way up here, I just put some things together about halfway up, and then drove the rest away. So, you know, it's just a thought. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, make it chapter 2, look at verse 9. No, it's 1. In chapter 1, verse 9. Whom has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Well, I love Jerry. He knows where everything is in the Bible. He's always, I get all stumbled around here. He says, you know, and I like that, boy. I need him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, I want to talk to you about that holy calling and just basically what that holy calling is. You see, God, before the foundation of the world, called me. And the holy means that it's just separation. God Almighty knew what I would say, knew what I would do, and knew the mess that I would be in. I am today. I told somebody not long ago, I said, God didn't put me in the situation I'm in now. He just uses me in that situation. All the situations that I'm in now, it's because of poor judgment. And I know that. But God is able to use me even in my poor judgments. You know, it's a holy calling. It's one before the foundation of the world, and it's for His purpose and His grace. Now, I want to talk a little bit about that calling. I want to talk about salvation. You know, God called me about salvation and saved me, and it was a holy calling. Look in Colossians. Let's put back on my glasses. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 10. I did get that right, didn't I, Jerry? Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. Before I go on, Steve, what time did I start? I swear if I didn't do the very thing that he said I would do. Quarter after. Okay. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, whom has raised us from the dead. Now notice in the verse, and verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith, now watch, of the operation of God. Now, it's through the operation of God. You ever thought about that operation? That word in Greek, and I'm not no Greek scholar. I got a strong concordance and a young concordance. Anybody can do it in 5 minutes. But in the Greek, that word is energia. That word, we get our word energy from. It's a holy calling, and it has to do with an energy. It's through the operation of God. There's an energy that energizes the individual when he gets saved. Called the Holy Spirit. But he's energized. You know, I can't fathom. Look in Romans chapter. I won't say this by scripture. Romans chapter 10. Look in Romans chapter 10. And you know, I've heard this argued before. And people, I just love to argue, don't they? Just over anything. You know, they'd rather argue than had to just agree on the word of truth. It's amazing. Romans chapter 10. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart. Now, I want you to, this has to do with a heart speaking. You understand what I'm saying to you? Say not in thy heart. It's something you say in your heart. Whom shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend unto the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. In other words, you ain't got to go nowhere. This is happening in the heart. Right there where you sit, this is what's happening in the heart. And it's called an operation of God. And it's something like an energy force. It's something that comes inside of you. And when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's something that's there, deep inside of the heart. Look what he says in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know something? I don't know much, but I know how I got saved. I know that something happened inside of me. I can't get away from this thing. I know that something happened inside of me, and there was an energy that happened inside of me when I got saved. And people say, well, you don't have to confess with your mouth. And they go on and on about this being to Israel. Folks, in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, he was speaking to Gentiles. The whole book from Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 16 is Gentiles. Matter of fact, every book he wrote is to the Gentiles. Can't get much plainer than that. But you know something? People argue about that. That where you have to, you know, say it with your mouth, or you don't have to say it with your mouth. Let me tell you something. When I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, all hell couldn't have stopped it from me saying and telling people about it. When you get to a place in your life that you know that you're going to this place called hell, and that there are people that are squirming underneath you right now that are burning, and they're screaming to God to help them, and you know you're going to that place, and you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, I believe there's some energy that happens to you, and it's deep inside the heart. Now, it did me. It might not you, but it did me. I couldn't hold it back, folks. I'm ashamed of it. I was proud of it. I said to myself, man, this is what all the Christians are happy about. This is the reason they're all joyful. This is, couldn't help it, boy. I wanted to just be a part of them and go talk to them. They all shunned me. You see, there was something that happened to me when I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And it was the operation of God. And it was energy. And it had to do with, hey, I have no more sins. My circumcision of the flesh was cut away. It was an operation of God.
Amen.
Now, I was called. That's a holy calling. God therefore knew I would do that. Therefore He sent His Son for me and died at Calvary, knowing that I would do that. And called me, therefore, to witness for Him to other people because He knew I would. And that's, He calls everybody, but I have a holy calling. I'm separated. And I'm separated from this world. And I'm separated by salvation, by that which He happened in my heart, by that energia, that operation that happened. I'm separated by that. I can talk to other Christians and talk to them, and I can see the same thing that's in them. Now, God called me to be saved. But you know something? When He called me to be saved, the guy that showed me the Bible, he rightly divided. And so at that time, at the nuclear power plant where I was working at, I had got into a Baptist church. And to make a long story short, they thought they were the only one on the earth that had the Word of God. And they had an altar call every Sunday, people running down the aisles, jumping up and shouting, and just doing all kind of stuff like that. And so the guy showed me the gospel. Well, when he showed me the gospel, I looked around and I tried to, you know, like I said, I went to talk to all the other Christians and all the other saints and to share with them, and I couldn't. They all, like I was a black plague, they all aborted me. They wouldn't have nothing else to do, you know, with me. And so I was thinking, somebody needs to tell them. Somebody needs to be able to show them what you know. And lo and behold, the Lord was calling me to teach. It's a calling that's there. And I had a calling. It's a power that was working there. And that power was working in me. And that energy was working in my heart. And God Almighty was working inside of me to do His will. And it was for His purpose, His grace. But He was calling me. Listen, not only was I called and to be saved, I was also called to teach. And I remember the time that God Almighty called me. I remember it. And you know something? It was in my heart. And it was something that was effectual. It was there. And there was a lot of energy saying, you need to do this. You need to do that. And you know, I didn't want to teach. You know, I seen the need. Had nothing to do with my wants, my needs. I seen the need that God wanted me for and a purpose that God had called me for. And therefore, I started a Bible study. Started teaching there at the nuclear plant. I believe God Almighty called me to teach. And that's how I think He called me. You know, I can't speak for any man in this room about how you're called. But I can to you about me. I know how I was called. I know how He called me to be saved. I know how He called me to teach. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward whom believe, according, and watch, to the working of His mighty power. That working of His mighty power that works in us. That energy that's there. You know that word energy comes from a, you know, if you look at Greek, it may be a word in Greek, then it comes from this word. Then it comes from this word, and then it finally gets down to this word. Energia comes down to E-N. That's what it comes to. That is the root. Now, in Greek, you cannot misunderstand Greek because it has roots When you get into English, it has all kind of verbs, nouns, and it's like it's just a jumbled up thing. But when you get into Greek, it has a root. I want to read you the root of this. It denotes time or place. That energy is in a time or in a place. It implies instrumentally. It's like it's something that's instrumental in your mind and in your body. It's instrumental, but it's a time and a place that happened. And he says, it's a relationship to rest. You know, I don't have any trouble at all standing up here tonight to tell you that I'm a teacher. I'm resting that. That don't bother me at all. I don't care. It don't matter. I'm a teacher. I rest. You know why? Because that was an energy at one time that called me to teach. And it was burning in my heart. Like Jeremiah said, it's burning in his bones. And so I taught. But you know, when I taught, sometimes I'd get a little loud. And I think, oh God, what am I doing here? I shouldn't be getting loud. Why am I getting loud? That's not teaching. Why, that's preaching. Listen, if anybody in here studies their Bible at all, and you study preaching, that has to do with heralding His Word. That's like an example for me. It's like from a rooftop. You herald it. That's a preacher. And so here I am teaching, and I'm teaching at the nuclear plant, and I'm just going away at teaching, but sometimes I get a little loud. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, what am I doing? You're not supposed to do that. Why, you're not a preacher. You're a teacher. I knew I was a teacher. Didn't have no problem with that. But here I am getting a little loud. I wasn't supposed to do that. You know something? There was some energy going on inside of me. And it was coming from the heart. And so I thought, God, I need to do something about this. And so Brother Moore had a Bible conference down at Pensacola on the beach. I'm down there at that Bible conference and I'm going to find out what it is to be a preacher. You know, I didn't know where I was going to be one, or should be one, or I should stop that getting a little loud, or whatever I should do. And so, I was on the beach, and there's this great, big, tall, black-headed guy come running up to me. He said, hey, man, how would you like to go to a Bible conference? And I said, I'm already going to a Bible conference. I said, I'm going right over there. And he said, me too. And I said, next thing I said to him, I said, I think the Lord's calling me to preach. He said, me too. And I said, hey, I tell you what. And that's what I told me, Robert Reed. I said, I tell you what, Robert. He first came up and tried to get me to go in the ocean, and it was really cold. He said, I done duped two or three people into going in. And I said, well, let's ask every preacher. I asked Steve Atwood. I asked Jerry Lockhart. I asked, and they might not remember it, but at Pensacola, Florida, I asked him, I said, how you know you called to preach? And he was standing right there with me, Robert Reed with me too. And they said, just them. And I said, and every one of them said this, I gave you some good advice, don't do it. Every one of them said that. Every one of them said, you know something? I remember the Lord calling me to be saved. I remember the Lord calling me to teach, and I remember the Lord calling me to preach. I have a holy call. And listen, in all those areas, I have a holy call, and I don't have any problem with preaching. I don't have any doubt in my mind that I'm not called to preach the Word of God. I rest in that. That energy that's there, I rest in that energy. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, word, having that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by, now here's how it was, the effectual working of his power. That word effectual working, it's one of the words that come from energia. It's one of the ones that's down the line. It's something that works effectual in an individual. It ain't just you know something. It's something that works effectual within the heart of that individual. And it's a grace given to that individual. Grace was given to me that I may be able to be saved. Grace was given to me that I may be able to teach. Grace was given to me that I may be able to preach. And you know something? I rest in that. I don't struggle with that. I'm not fighting with that. I rest in that. You struggling with anything? Is there anything that you're struggling with in your heart? You know something? I bet there's somebody out there right now that something going on in your heart. You're thinking, maybe I should. You know, I think maybe I am. And you're probably in a place where I was. You know what that? You know what's happening there? God Almighty, through His power, and you've been enlightened to His Holy Spirit about what you should do and your calling. Maybe somebody out there says, I need to start a Bible study somewhere. I need to teach. Maybe somebody out there says, I've been wanting to preach, but I don't know where I'm really the material. The Bible says it's not what a man hath that he got a willing mind. You got to have a willing mind. You don't have to have it in it. I'm living proof of that. Man, all you got to do is whatever the Lord's dealing with you right now within your heart, there's a power, there's an energy that's going on, and it's working right there inside of you right now. And the thing to do is not fight it. You know, when I got back from Pensacola, Florida, I went back to that nuclear power plant, and I went in there, and I still had my head hung down because I didn't know what to do. I honestly didn't know where I should preach or not preach. I just didn't know. And I was working with a Baptist preacher. Nice guy. Quiet, mild-mannered. He came to my Bible study. We fellowshipped a lot. Just a nice guy. And he said to me, I told him what was going on in my life. He said, Jen, why are you fighting? I don't know. I'm a preacher. And I didn't fight it no longer. I know what it is to have a holy calling. And I know what it is for God Almighty to work with you in your heart. And then with a group like it, God's working with somebody here. If he ain't in the end of this Bible conference, I got a feeling somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to start a Bible study. Somebody's going to be called to preach. The Lord is working, is he not? He's mighty. And you know something that's amazing about that? In the Corinthians, it says in Corinthians that when you all get together and when you all say the same thing, if one come in as unlearned, is he not convicted of all? You know, when we come together in harmony, we come together in unity and in spirit, and if one comes in from another place, another church or something, they see that unity. They see that in us. And sometimes they see their calling, don't they? Well, it's a holy calling. Now look in the Galatians. In Galatians, I'm glad my time is up. I don't run out of scripture. Galatians chapter 2. You know, it's hard. It is hard to prepare for a 30-minute thing. Mostly over the years, you know, I'd prepare and I'd get about halfway done, and then I'd just cut everything short and feel so bad about it. And then when I didn't try to prepare enough, I didn't have enough. And it's just like, you know, how do you prepare for something like that? It's just hard to do it. But tonight is a night. Look in Galatians chapter 2, verse, and I'm going to stop with this verse, verse 8. Verse 7. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, that he that wrought affectionately in Peter to the apostleship, you see that? I'm not an apostle. That's not in my agenda there. I'm not effectually thinking or to the apostleship. The working is not going on nowadays. There's no apostles. But you know, during that time period, that energy, that energy, that working power, mighty working power, was working in individuals back there to being an apostle. That power that works in you now worked in them, and they were apostles. And he called the apostle Peter to be an apostle by that effectual working that was in Peter. Well, you know what that working was? Well, that was to the circumcision. Look what he says in verse 8. "But he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles." Now I want you to notice something. Look in Galatians chapter 1. I said I'd quit, but there's one more verse. Verse 15. "But when it pleased God before the foundations of the world, and he chose Paul for his own purpose and his own grace, and it was given to Paul." Look in verse 15. "But when it pleased God, whom separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." You know something? God calling people today, and there's a bad need of it. There's a shortage of preachers in the United States, maybe not here at this Bible conference, but you talk to Brother Dan, he said that India, they get on with the situation. He said they have more preachers than they can even preach all the time, and they have more than they can pack in a house all the time, and it's all over India like that. The United States has got a drought. We need people to preach, teach the Word of God. And you know, one more thing, I forgot to. You know, I was coming from Birmingham after I was called to preach, and on the way home, we passed a Church of Christ. Now, it is Church of Christ. They were let out and stuff, and I see people walking in the parking lot and stuff out of the Church of Christ, and my heart burned. I said, why can't we have something like that? Why can't we have something? Why can't we have a church like that? Why can't we have... I drove 100 miles to a Bible study in Birmingham and a funeral home parlor every Sunday. Didn't miss. And my heart burned. You know, shortly thereafter, I was going to Brother Moore's Bible study on Tuesday night in Oneonta, Alabama. A woman came up to me and she said, "We want you to start a church up here and on Sundays." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, for the kids." I thought, wrong reason. She said, "For myself, that'd been a different story. But for my kids, no." And so the next week, there were about, I'd say, 10 men that got around me and said, "We want you to start a church here for us." I thought, that's cool. So I called Brother Moore. I told Brother Moore. He said, "Jan, I'm not going to be there Tuesday night." Said, "You handle it." I said, "Okay." So he said, "You speak for me Tuesday night." And so I went up there and I spake for Brother Moore Tuesday night. And they got around me and asked me that. And I said, "I'll tell you what you do. You find a building. You find where we can meet and stuff. And I'll talk to Brother Moore and I'll come up here." The Lord called me to pastor. How about that? You see, it was an effectual work in there from watching them people come out of that church. And there was an energy inside of me that was effectual. But it works in every one of us. And I've got a feeling it's working in somebody tonight. And somebody here is holding it back. And God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, called me for this purpose, this time, and this place. Amen.